This is Scott from Reno, Nevada, fan of the greatest jersey in all of sports, frankly. And by that, of course, I'm referencing the Arizona Coyotes Kachina jersey. Come on, Adam, you know it's true. And you are all listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Penalty kill time here on the first line edition season premiere for us after whatever that was last week with a terrible cold intro. Just whoever that guy is rude. Fire him. I don't understand what he has to pick on me for. Some terrible jersey talk last week. Some predictions that I know are wrong according to what I think is going to happen. Richard, Cote joining me, Adam Minnick, Lonnie in parts unknown currently. Man, what a crappy season. What kind of episode was that last week? Which is awful. Awful.
I tried to guide them in the right direction with the jersey talk, and they weren't biting. Especially Jacob about the Oilers.
Oh, which
we'll get into, but.
Yeah, we'll get. Cut Jacob's pay in half.
I'll do more. I might eliminate it completely.
You should. As executive producer, you can do that stuff.
Yes, I have the authority.
Oh man, it was some of that was painful. A prediction. I mean, they don't know what they're talking about.
I know.
Lou not being crabby and he was being positive about the Ranger. I mean, I don't know what happened last week.
It was, planets aligned and someone cast a voodoo spell on. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't our normal second line crew there. I think it's because we were expecting the first line and we had to step up and shifts got changed. Things happen.
Oh man. It was the cold open was terrible. Like where did that come from? Shots fired there.
Scott, he's a jerk. So, take that for what it's worth.
I wonder who put him up to that.
On his own, he does love the Kachina jersey. I do too. But that was uncalled for. I'll get in touch with him. Scott, come on, man. Come on. I know he's listening to this episode.
I think you got in touch with him is how that ended up on the pod.
No, I would never ask somebody to belittle our host like that.
I don't believe that at all.
I was going to say, if you did, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Do you? Okay. Was it French originally?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Cool. There we go. The NHL season's underway.
It sure is.
Nothing like the national TV networks in the U.S. making Connor Bedard open up both their seasons two nights in a row on back-to-back to start his NHL career. I mean, was that not telegraphed at all? Hey, ESPN, they've got one night. TNT starting their season the next night. Hey, can you have Connor on both our networks? Can we do this?
I mean, he is the biggest name coming into the season, but yeah, a little much.
Yeah, it's playing back to backs. Players complain enough, but that was good. So, we'll just talk it. He's on his way to chasing Gretzky. Down, yes. Couple hundred to go.
just a few.
Since ESPN threw that stat up, not ESPN, TNT threw that stat up last night. The graphic, give me a break. Leave the key. Like, there's enough pressure on it. It was just like, really? Really? We're doing that already? But he didn't Austin Matthews it. No four goals.
No.
He didn't Jonathan Taves it on the first shot. It took him a whole two games to get his first goal. But, he was kind of relieved after the game. This is going to be a story all year, Richard. I mean, we are here for the Connor Bedard show. Mm-hmm. Throughout the year. May have just gotten a little harder with Taylor Hall getting the blindside hit and his line mate going to be out for a couple weeks. But,
yeah,
two games in, impressions of Bedard start.
Right. And, the spotlight's always going to be on the number one draft pick coming in, especially if they get the first start. If they're going straight into a struggling club, they're meant to put that club on their shoulders. We saw it in Toronto with Austin Matthews, obviously the most recent one, being able to produce right off the bat. I'm happy with how Connor has actually handled himself going into this, knowing that expectations are going to be really high, especially in the Chicago market, who's really hungry for a competitive team in this division. But being able to put up a couple of points in two games. I mean, at least we know that it hasn't been a flop yet.
Yeah. So last night was the perfect scenario for the Blackhawks for the season. This is what their GM, Kyle Davidson, and ownership would love. Bedard scores, Hawks lose. They're still in tank mode. Let's not. They're going to be more competitive. They're going to be more fun to watch than whatever that product they put out last year was. But I mean, it's definitely going to be a more fun team to watch with all the youth on there. But make no mistakes, they're nowhere near a playoff team, and this is a team that still wants a top five pick in a very deep draft coming up this year. So Bedard scoring, winning the Calder, them getting a top five pick, that's the plan. And 1-1 after two games, they'll take it.
Right.
A couple points for Connor. What shocked me most about Connor, I think the most underrated. He took a shot in the Pittsburgh game. I believe it was his first shot on goal where he came down the right wing side and stride for stride with the defenseman, and how quick he got off a snapshot while in motion before the defenseman's stick could even get. I mean, his shot ability, I think, I haven't even appreciated it fully yet. I mean, people were saying his passing is underrated. I saw like in the juniors, like how good of a pass his saucer passes are, just sick. But his hands on those quick shots, he's special. He really is. See it already.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's, you know, why he was putting up the numbers he was in the juniors, is he has, you know, a very quick, you know, snapshot. And I often find that those are more dangerous than like an overpowering slap shot.
Yep.
Well, because you don't know when those are coming.
Oh yeah. They can definitely be. So, you know, I'm sure this isn't the last time we are going to talk about, Mr. Connor Bedard, on this podcast this year. But you know, speaking of rookies who had a great start, and I don't know if people remember this, but Austin Matthews was a rookie not too long ago, just a few years,
Years
2016 draft. Yeah. He had 4 goals in his first game ever. That's how he got entered into the league. Well, not bad in his season opener.
No,
you know, little Patrick come from behind victory, 24 minutes of ice time. Pretty good. Pretty good start for Mr. Matthews.
And you know, he, for the first few years, he's been putting up multi-point games in his season openers. And
yes,
this is kind of what we come to expect. The last couple of seasons, he's been quiet. I think the last time he had a point in a season opener was back in 2019. He had an assist. So, I don't know, to see him come out strong, you know, it makes me pleased as a hockey fan to see that, you know, not that I'm terribly worried about the career of said Austin Matthews, but you know, to see him come out strong, it really makes you excited. And, you know, to see the potential of his career.
Yeah. Yeah. He had an assist in the COVID season, January of 21 on opening night there. So you did get that correct there, but yeah, I mean, it after coming up, big time, in, you know, in his life debut, and everybody thought he was off to a good start. You know, yeah, I think it was, oddly enough, and the reason I know this is because they talked about it. The last time he scored a goal on opening night was the 2018 opener. Mm-hmm. He scored multiple goals.
Yep.
Can you guess who it was against?
I was going through the stats. I can't remember. Was it against Chicago?
No, it was against Montreal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go.
So as long as he opens against Montreal, it's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, good things happen.
Right.
Good things happen. So, you know, he's off to a quick start. You know, Elias Pettersson, not bad.
No.
He's got something going. Brooke Besser, Mikko Rantanen. I mean, you know, we'll talk about this. You know, we'll touch on picks a little bit here. I will say, when I was going through my predictions for the 2024 season, and I'm sitting there and I'm talking, who's going to win the Richard? And I put MacKinnon. But I almost wanted to put Rantanen in it, but I'm thinking, I think MacKinnon's going to win the Hart this year, so doesn't he have to win? Like, I just, because I'm really deep in Colorado's regular season this year, if they all stay healthy. But is Mikko one of the most underrated forwards because of what's around him?
Yes, I would say 100% because of what's around him. He gets overshadowed. You got the young defenseman and Cale Makar on there. You got Nathan MacKinnon. You know, when he's healthy, you had Gabriel Landeskog, who was also putting up spectacular numbers. You had this top line that was just a tremendous beast. It was just a three-headed beast. Landeskog out this entire regular season, so we're down to those two. I think Rantanen is, I don't want to say sneaky, but he does definitely get overshadowed because of McKinnon's hands and, speed.
I didn't realize until I was looking at this last night. I knew he had a lot of goals. I didn't realize the only time he hasn't had a 20 goal season was the 19-20 season where he played 42 games.
Yeah.
But in the COVID season of 52 games, he scored 30. Last year he had 55, which we all know, but the season before that 36. I mean, the guy is he's not just 20 plus, he's a 30 plus goal guy. And he's kind of an afterthought. I mean, 517 points in 491 games. Like, he is the quietest point of game guy, in my opinion, in the league right now.
Absolutely. And you know who sets up most of those goals for him? McKinnon.
Yeah, the guy in the middle.
Yeah.
Not bad.
He racks up a ton of assists off of Rantanen. So,
yeah, for 4 points already in the opener for him. So, he's off to a fast start. Brock Besser, not bad with his four goals to start the season. I mean, that's, Edmonton. Oof. They got, four goals on eight shots for Besser. So he's I think it's going to be a much improved Vancouver team. So it's too bad we don't have Lonnie on because, he's the Burnsville native. And Lonnie used to cover a newspaper there in Burnsville, oddly enough. So you may have some stories about when he was a youth out there because Lonnie's old. So yeah. He covered him when he was a youth out there.
In our episode last week, Lou had picked Vancouver to be the most improved team in the NHL. And we kind of laughed him off for that. But I don't know if they continue like what we saw last night.
No, I actually debate. So Vancouver was one of the three in my brain that I was going through for most improved. I don't know if Vancouver is going to keep the band together long enough for them to be improved throughout the season. Because we're still not sure the path they want to take. Mm-hmm. There. I think Lou's more right than you are. I think your prediction's completely wrong.
I have high hopes for this young kid, but
the Hawks are still built to be terrible. But I think Vancouver's gonna be much improved as well. So I'm with Lou on that one. But it's kind of the early start. 8-1. I mean, Vancouver beating Edmonton 8-1 the other night. Like, did not see that coming. Eight shots on 32 goals, buddy.
No.
Yikes.
I was thinking about bringing this up for conversation, and I know it is game one of 82 here, but is this cause for panic in Edmonton for their goaltending? Because both who went in the game, they both faced 16 shots and let four in. I believe that was the box score.
Let's see. Yeah, 60. Yeah. Yeah. They had identical 750 save percentages.
Yeah.
Campbell in 27 minutes and Skinner in 32.
Yeah. Your goalie tandem there having an off night on the same night. Yes. Game one. But I don't know. For me, it is cause for concern. But Edmonton's goaltending has always been cause for concern.
Well, but I was going to say, this isn't anything different. I mean, last year, Jack Campbell had an 888 save percentage.
Right.
After finishing Toronto at 914 and 921 the 2 years before. I mean, that's what Edmonton was banked on. Like, he came to Edmonton. He did not have a good year last year.
No.
I mean, he was 21-9. Like, good record, but a 888 save percentage is not, it's not good. That's not, I mean, I'm sorry, 888 is not a good save percentage.
No.
That's not what you want out of your goalie.
No. Neither your starter nor your backup should have something that low.
No. And I mean, I mean, Stuart Skinner is Stuart. I mean, nobody is going to clamor for young Stuart Skinner.
No.
He's been an Oiler his whole life. He played 50 games in, last year, but before that was basically his rookie season, but he had a 914 last year, but lost 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
Goalie is their problem. I think Skinner had the better year last year overall But Campbell grabbed the starting role, it sounded like, coming out of camp, that they were going to ride him this year. So, I don't know. I think it's bad, right? Like, one game, it's one game. It's always overreaction. Yeah. But overall, they won't be this bad, but I don't think the strength is in net.
No. Absolutely. I mean, the strength has never been in net for them, but it kind of shocked me that they were a team like Edmonton only able to produce one goal against a Vancouver team. So, but it was their, probably their main goal getter this year, Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah. It is something. So, yeah, I mean, it's always overreaction at the first couple of games, but yeah, I mean, a snowman is definitely something to worry about quite a bit. I'm also, if I'm the Canadians, giving up a 3-goal lead on opening night worries me a little bit. And Jake Allen looks off, man. Those were not good goals that Jake Allen let up in that game.
No. I have nothing to say. Like, I don't know. I got nothing to say about Jake Allen there. He's a stopgap at this point. I mean, we know that they're going to be looking at getting some better goaltending when Jake Allen is your preferred starter.
Yeah.
You've got issues.
Yeah. And, I also may be a little surprised there on opening night. The $8.5 million man didn't look too good, giving up, only 17 saves on 21 shots there in Connor Hellebuck. $8.5 million and whoops, lay up a goose egg. And not a good goose egg.
Oh, no. He's the best option they got. But at that price tag that you just extended his contract, if things start going south, you've tied yourself into him because nobody's going to want to take that on.
Let's talk about that. How surprising was it to see those twin contracts and Connor Hellebuck and Scheifele? Hellebuck, I thought they'd work out. I didn't expect $8.5 million.
No.
I did not expect them to, for a 30-year-old goalie. That's, 33 is kind of the peak of goal. Like, we see a big drop off. Lundqvist had it. Quick had it.
Yep.
There's been a price, like we've seen, a lot of the arc is 33 plus. Like, they're signing a bulk contract, for him. And his prime is only going to be like the first 3 years of an 8-year deal of it.
It's right. Crazy. Not sure exactly what's going through the mind of the front office there in Winnipeg. The Scheifele contract, I understand. He produces fairly well for that team, and he's a presence you're going to want to keep around for the locker room. Yeah.
The way it was all going down, at least publicly, I thought he was done. It seemed like Hellebuck and them were going to come to an agreement. Scheifele was a bit outspoken, and I was not sure he got it, but man, he got his full no trade clause. He got the exact 7 for $59.5 million. So, it's good on him. I mean, good on Winnipeg. I mean, the guy is nearly a point a game guy. Mm-hmm. He's good for 25 plus goals a year. So I'd be smart on them. I just, and with the cap going up, it already sounds like next year it allows it. Yeah. They're below the cap this year. They're going all in. I mean, they're clearly going all in. Give Chevalier off credit. He's pushing the chips in the middle. Mm-hmm. But signing guys for 7 years at $8.5 million while going all in, but also spending $17 million on the future a year, I'm confused. I'm confused on their strategy.
I don't know if they actually have one. The contract's going to end when Hellebuck's contract's going to end when he's 37.
Both of them are going to be 37, yeah.
Yeah, right. Looking at his career numbers, via Hockey Reference, even strength, he has a 923 save percentage. Okay.
He's a really good regular season goalie.
Right. It's, yeah, postseason is where you're going to need the help. Because see, 5 years in 5 years that he's made the postseason, .916 save percentage. Not the worst, but that's not going to win you.
You don't want to be below .920 in the postseason.
No. If you have the offense in front of you, you could probably get away with one series at that. That's not going to win you a cup. So, I mean, his play's going to need to elevate. I don't know if it can. The price tag on that, I would have liked to see maybe probably closer to 5.5.
Yeah, I'm not going over 6 million. Even with the cap going up, I'll raise it to 6 million, but that's it for a goalie. Shifley, he's about in line. But what's interesting to me with Winnipeg, they're building a future core. So you've got Morrissey, Hellebuyck, and Shifley all signed for multiple years, but almost their entire roster expires after the 24-25 season. So they've got a 2-year window with the group they have now to go all in to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got three guys that they're committed to long term, including two guys that are going to be in their mid to late 30s in that mix.
Yeah,
it's an odd strategy. It's the only thing I can think of is if Winnipeg knows that it's really tough to get free agents to go to Winnipeg, Manitoba, so they want to keep what they have.
That is fair. Yeah,
maybe that attracts others. So that's way too. That's enough. We don't need to keep talking about those guys.
Another maybe signing. There's still some influence from the old Arizona Coyotes. Front office. Never mind. All right, let's move on.
Wow. A very good signing though this week, in my opinion. I love this. If I am a fan of the team up there in upstate New York, Owen Power signs. He's on his entry level deal that'll expire next year. And he's going to be a rich man. He's currently making $916,000. Next year he'll make $8.35 million. And he'll be doing that for 7 years.
There seems to be kind of a theme here. The 7 year above $8 million, you know.
Yep.
That's
I love this signing. I think he is going to be a really good defenseman for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffalo, good on them for recognizing that and just getting the kid locked up long term to anchor their franchise along with Rasmus Dahlin and Matias Samuelsson back there. They've got their top three D-men. That's solid. That's solid. Right. I mean, they've got $25 million invested in their top three D-men. So we'll see about that. But I mean, Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power, you can do way better of leading those guys out. Way worse.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know if you can do much better than that, but no, you can definitely do much, much, much worse. This is signs that Buffalo is looking to right the ship, get a like you mentioned, getting a good defensive core built. You still have projected $8.8 million in the cap space this year. You could bring in some veteran talent. Yep. If things start getting a little bit heated towards the playoffs, maybe start making a little bit of a playoff push. I still don't like them as, getting past the first round at this point. Getting to the playoffs, I think, is their benchmark.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of questions in goal too.
Oh, absolutely.
They're spending a whole $3.5 million on three goalies. And two out of the three are 24 and 21.
Right.
So, but still, they got one of the best names in hockey right now. And Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. The U's and the K's are wild in upstate New York.
That is probably the best name I have heard since Fu'umatu Ma'afala.
That's a solid name. That is a solid name. So, yeah. So that's the signings. All of a sudden the season started and people are like, yeah, we're going to sign a bunch of guys right on opening night. So getting there with that. Going back to on the ice and I guess it was on the ice, but it was pregame, Vegas Golden Knights.
Yep.
First of all, really cool rings, a little different than we've seen. Really neat what they did there. Paying homage to the victims of the mass shooting that happened there in the mm-hmm. music festival. The top comes off to see the arena. Really kind of cool how they did it. Very golden, as you would expect. Yeah. And then, hey, I mean, Vegas is always known for being crazy in pregame. Good on them. It's really cool going to a game there. I've had the pleasure to do it twice now. the banner out of a slot machine. Perfect. Love it. Love it.
I just wish somehow it would have come out the bottom and then raise up instead of just coming straight out the top. But
you wanted it to be accurate.
Okay. I mean, somewhat. I mean, if you're Vegas, you're going to be as Vegas as you can. But no, I mean, I absolutely loved it. This is the most Vegas way to raise a championship banner. And I hope that one day when, you know, the Vegas Athletics win a World Series, that they raise a banner in similar fashion. But no, I've always enjoyed the antics, the pregame, you know, shows that they put out on the ice, the way they get their fans amped. Mm-hmm. And again, back to the championship ring. I mean, this is a team who has, I mean, since their inception, because that horrific event happened so close to the beginning of their season, they have been so knitted into that community. And I don't think that they have ever let that go. So I really applaud them for incorporating that into their celebration.
Yeah, it was good. So it, you know, they always seem to do it right. You know, it's Vegas. They're owning what they are. God love them. And yeah, love it. Love it. Yeah, absolutely love it. And they won.
Yeah.
Which is not always easy to do on a night of distraction. I mean, people, you know, we see a lot of losses by the home teams on their banner raising night.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. So good on them. Side note, Lindy Ruff of the New Jersey Devils has been extended. He was entering his last year of his contract. No terms. Not reported yet. Nobody's been able. So he's got a few more years and a few more dollars, but we don't know how much and when, how long.
Okay.
But hey, late 60s coach. I mean, coaches hate lame duck years, so not surprising. And New Jersey's on the upswing. I think they are a borderline cup contender. I think they're a year away. But I think they're a borderline cup contender.
I do too, as I have them winning the Stanley Cup this year. So
that would make them a contender in your eyes.
That would make them a contender.
I think you're a year ahead of schedule.
I might be. I'm a little optimistic. I don't know. Like growing up, I always kind of had this, you know, little like side hatred for them. I don't know why. They've really endeared themselves to me in the past few seasons. Just, you know, I love what they're doing with that club and, the way they're able to put a competitive team out there with, you know, not the biggest of names out.
Maybe you're just a man of faith and the devil conjured up bad things. So you could not like a team named after Satan.
Maybe.
That was it. You probably also didn't like Miroslav Zatan as a player then either.
Yeah. You know what? No. Yeah, that had to have been it. You know, you dug deep into my psyche, pulled that out. Thank you for reviving that repressed memory.
Do you feel better now? Do you feel lighter?
No.
Do you feel something was exercised out of you? No.
Oh, no. I wish.
Well, I tried.
I know.
I tried. Okay.
Yeah.
Off the ice, Mexico City, a short list for future NHL international games.
Yep.
Steve Meyer, who's the chief content officer of the NHL, was on the Drop podcast this week on ESPN, and it flat out said that they are very interested in exploring that market and that Mexico City is on the very short list for doing that. The best thing about that could be a regular season game. I like when these international games are regular season games, not that whole, like, give Australia credit. They showed up, throws. We know, like, I believe Australia is the third or fourth most frequented visitor on the PHN website when you look at our SEO by country.
Yep.
So we know they are hockey crazy there, but, you know, getting a preseason game isn't as fun, especially sending in the Coyotes. So, but hey, in the Coyotes home the Coyotes had a home preseason game that was larger than any other regular season home games.
Absolutely. You wouldn't be able to fit all those people in the mullet.
Yep. Here's the bottom line. It's not shocked that Mexico City would be on the list.
No.
You know, there's a lot of money in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. It's in a time zone convenient for the NHL.
Yep.
And it's easy travel. Like, we've seen baseball. We've seen the MLB and the NFL go there. Don't know if NBA has gone to Mexico City.
I think the NBA has done.
Have they gone to? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they did. They played. Yep. Oh, the NBA has played 30 times since 1992 in Mexico City. I wasn't sure if it was regular season games, but yeah. And they average 20,000 fans. So, you know, all the leagues have gone there. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, it's logistically sound. Yeah, like you mentioned, easy to get there. Travel, you know, is fairly open. So,
here's Here's what I think they should do.
Okay.
Winter Classic.
In Mexico City.
Yes.
It's thinking outside the box. I don't know if
105,000 people in Azteca Stadium like they've had for NFL games. If you're going to do it, like we've gone to Boston, we've gone to Chicago, we've done LA, we've done Vegas now. We years ago on the website, we had a series where we said outside, outside the box locations for outdoor games. We talked about Madison, Wisconsin at Camp Randall, talked about Lambeau Field. Notre Dame was one of them. It went there. Jerry World, of course, comes up, which is tough because with the bowl games and all that. So that's why they had to go to the Cotton Bowl. I'm trying to think where else people brought it up, but the whole idea was it doesn't have to always be in NHL cities for the Winter Classic. If you're going to go to Mexico City, why not do an outdoor game there?
Well, would you want to do it a Winter Classic or would you like to do a stadium series?
Winter Classic.
Winter Classic, 100%. Go all in.
105,000 people can fit in that stadium.
Right.
Throw it on New Year's Day. That would get eyeballs.
Yeah, okay. You're starting to sell me on that. Like, I just don't know if like the most devoted hockey fans are going to be all in with putting the Winter Classic in like a non-traditional market.
The Winter Classic is not for the devoted hockey fan.
I would say
it's for marketing to new fans.
I would say the Stadium Series is more for marketing towards new fans because they go outside of traditional uniforms. They host it in cities like LA. I think that this, and I mean, yeah, Tahoe was kind of cool.
To me, the Winter Classic should be the non-traditional. Like you have the most eyeballs. It's especially the way college football is losing the New Year's Day feel. It's not as big as it was. You're not going to, the NBA steals Christmas. The NHL is trying to get Black Friday and New Year's Day as theirs. So why not make it your big game? Like make it non-traditional. Let the Stadium Series be true. It's in February. It's just a normal time of year. It's not a national holiday. Like I think the Winter Classic is where you go crazy. You have nothing to lose. You have only things to gain.
I don't know. I'm still not sold on it as the Winter Classic. I would rather see it as the Stadium Series.
Well, you're wrong.
But I would love to see an outdoor game there. I think that I think you're onto something. That would be great. Let's do it. The sport. Yeah.
Call me. Call me.
He's got ideas.
You could have and think of all the sponsors because the Global Series is sponsored and the Winter Classic is sponsored. So it'd be the Winter Classic Global Series sponsored by some tire company along with a credit card company that moves the car. Yeah. I mean, it'd be marketing central. You could do it. They'd make Uber dollars.
They would.
There we go.
Especially with Uber.
Wow. I wasn't even going there. Look at you.
There we go.
Got it. But no, it was interesting. That's the only city they revealed on this short list of places that they're looking at to play. So I think it's happening.
I think it's the only one on the list.
Yeah. Well, they probably have backups, but not as new.
This almost feels like the Washington Commanders and their short list of names. We knew it was going to be the Commanders. They weren't going to stick with the Washington Football Club, which I wish they did. They should have. That was a much better name.
Well, apparently the new owner is not sold on the Commanders name. So maybe a team name, maybe have a new team name there shortly, but
yeah, maybe.
So that, another controversy going on this week, and we remiss not to talk about it. We all know that the NHL banned jerseys, specialty jersey warmups, all of them. Yeah. A lot of this is in respect to Pride Night. Brian Burke has come out. He's very outspoken about it, of how terrible it is. In case you didn't see it, now can you not wear jerseys? The NHL said specific. I mean, they came out very specific. It wasn't like they didn't say like you can't do USA flags on military night or green tape on St. Patrick's night. You can't do pride tape on pride nights. They're not allowing that in warmups. Now the NHL does have in its rule book, tape must be black or white, solid black or white for games, but it has nothing about warmups. Pride Tape, which is the name of the company. Jeff McLean is their owner. He's been in quotes and he said that since the NHL said you're not allowed to do this, he's had seven teams reach out to him, including one of them that have already placed an order for cases of the stuff.
Yeah.
Six other teams he expects to place cases orders. So teams looking back at the NHL office and saying, yeah, about that. I'm going to buy stuff.
Right. Hey, it's warmups. And the team is not mandating that players use this. It's not, like you mentioned, it's not in the game, so it doesn't have to conform to, you know, what you do use to compete. Let the players put on whatever tape they feel, you know, forwards their cause.
Yep. And I love a couple of players. So NHL, very conservative players, not about me. Don't want to make a story, right? Scott Laughton out of Philly said he plans to do it on January 10th.
Mm-hmm.
When Philly does their pride night, it's John Merrill. He just called out the league. He's like, his quote, what are they going to do? Find me.
Yeah.
Suspend. Like, he's basically, what's the league going to do for tape and warm up? What I really hope happens is players start putting on pride tape on non pride nights.
Oh yeah.
Just come out to warmups randomly to send the message, as well as, of course, on Pride Night. The NHL continues to make issues bigger than they need to be. They they already debacled the Pride jersey thing from a small minority. They are getting the wrong advice to come out and like ban tape. Like, you just made it a distraction, Gary Bettman.
Exactly.
Who cares if a player wants to have freedom of speech and be individual to do it? It's like, you're not mandating it. No. And in fact, I wish for these pregame jersey warmups, I wish it wasn't mandated. If a player doesn't want to wear it, so be it.
Yeah. But
they should have to answer questions about why they wouldn't wear a military jersey.
Absolutely.
Or a pride jersey, or Hispanic heritage, or St. Patrick's Day. Exactly. Exactly. But by quote unquote fixing, and I use it in deep air quotes, the Pride Night dilemma, which whatever, they've taken away from all caught. Like, has anybody ever complained about cancer night? Has anybody ever been, you know, pro cancer? So, but we can't even do that now and auction off jerseys and make money. You can't wear, you know, can you come out with purple tape on cancer night? Is it just pride tape that's outlawed? You know, like, there's so many things that were so wrong with this. And it's frustrating on, there's a human level of this, which I don't even think we have to go into of what we believe and how wrong the whole anti-movement is for this. But just the simple fact of support of causes, positive causes, that the NHL continues to not get out of its own way in general marketing.
And coming back to the whole pride tape issue, once it was announced that, you know, this was going to be banned, we have seen multiple players come out and say, yes, I will be using it. I will be using it more than once. I will be using it on Pride Night. You know, I plan to do this. This is a ridiculous rule that the league is imposing upon us. I have yet to hear anybody on the other side of it say, good for you, league. Thank you for removing some controversial non-issue of, you know, from the warmups that is not even broadcast on television. The people in the seats who, it's not even a full stadium yet. People are still coming in during your warmups. It's absolutely a non-issue that the league didn't even need to touch.
Yeah. They continue to fight the wrong battles in the marketing world.
Absolutely.
They're starting to turn the corner in marketing with entering the season of Crosby and Bedard. By the way, both head coaches got it. Start Crosby against Bedard for the opening face-off. Like, everything was right there marketing. TNT gets Bedard the second night. Like, he is the big story of the offseason in terms of new faces. The story should be turning shortly to Alex Ovechkin and his pursuit of Gretzky, especially if he can get off to a fast start. We'll get that going. But they finally are starting to market people instead of teams, which I think is very important. The NBA has done phenomenal at this. MLB is finally learning because of Shohei Ohtani, and then in the playoffs, Bryce Harper is marketing himself pretty damn good.
Yep.
the NHL needs to realize, yes, it's all about the jersey on the front. And you hang the jerseys forward in a hockey locker room. I get hockey culture, but it doesn't mean we can't expand it to market people and the players.
No.
And the keyness of them.
Absolutely. Because, you know, what's the fan going to latch on to? I mean, the fan's going to latch on to the team who's probably closest to them or they have ties to. But what really makes that connection is when you find a player which you really connect with. When you find a player who talks the same way you do, that looks like you, that you know, believes in the same things that you do, then you're like, oh, you know what? There are people like me playing at this high level who are competing, and I get to enjoy watching. I get to cheer just a little bit louder for that one person while still cheering on my team.
What's amazing and what I've kind of compared this to of the lack of outrage. We talk about Pride Night. You talk about other things. For years, Montreal, how important it is to have a French coach or at least a coach that could speak dual languages, mm-hmm. You know, a GM that could speak dual languages. And when that hasn't happened, the much malignness of the person because he's not French. And it's like, okay, I get that. That's their culture, right? Like Providence and Quebec. But at the same time, it's like, don't you want the best product for your hockey team? And why is it not a lead? Why don't people get really upset and said, oh, because you don't speak French, you're not good enough for Montreal. I mean, there's no outrage there.
No.
And nobody ever calls out, you know, Montreal for having that kind of small-minded view. I don't know, you know, I'm not ripping on them being French and all that, but it's just like, it's amazing the issues that the NHL continues to make an issue and just shine a light on themselves in a negative way. Just get out of your own way.
Yeah.
Just stop. Stop making it's twofold. Like I said, I can't stand the rhetoric, of course, around an issue of Pride Night and the way the people, the anti folks on it. But what frustrates me more as a big time hockey fan and a long time person in this business is how stupid they get and step on their own feet in the marketing room.
Right.
Yeah. There's no excuse for it.
There absolutely is not. Yeah. But that's all I got.
Yeah. So that's what's come out there. What are you most looking forward to this season, Richard?
What am I most looking forward to? I really am looking forward to seeing how the Central Division shapes up. I feel like this is a division that has probably gotten more difficult with the additions that teams have made. You know, the Dallas Stars have made some offseason acquisitions. Colorado kind of stood still, but they're still a competitive team. Minnesota is still going to be competitive. We'll see what happens with Winnipeg with those contract extensions. They're going to be in the mix there. And I'm still all in on this. Chicago has gotten better. They're not going to be the pushover that they were last year. They may not be a playoff team, but they're going to be improved. They're going to be a lot more competitive, for the rest of these teams. But yeah, I'm really like, I think for the first time, it's not going to be the division for Colorado to lose. They're going to have to really fight for this one this year.
Yeah, I see it completely opposite in the Central. I see it as a two-team race. I think Dallas are by far the best. I think I picked Minnesota to have the biggest drop season over season.
Okay.
I thought the roster they assembled last year, I thought was their deepest. And it thudded. They had zero success for that. I think they're going to take a step back this year. I think Winnipeg is solidly in third place. I think they're a step below Colorado, Dallas, but I think they're way better than the rest. I think Nashville did get better, but not good enough. I don't think the Blues got any better.
Oh no.
I think the Blues are not good. And Arizona and the Hawks are battling to get another lottery pick. I think the Hawks are going to be a lot more fun to watch, like we talked about. And yes, competitive. I don't think you're going to win a ton of games. But I think the Central is actually the most top-heavy division in all of hockey this year.
All right. Well, in your mind, which division has suddenly become the toughest?
I think the Atlantic is murderer's row.
Really?
I could argue all eight teams can make the playoffs. I make an argument for why each of those teams would be a playoff team.
Okay. Even Montreal and Ottawa.
I think Ottawa is much improved.
Okay.
I do. I think that there is a lot of talent there. I think they've stepped up. I think the new owner there is going to help. I think they will spend if they're close at the deadline.
Okay.
Montreal, I think, is the worst team in that division, but they've got some pieces. I mean, you look at that roster. It's not like it's a bunch of unknowns and unprovens.
No.
You know, they can get hot and go on a streak. I think Boston wins the division. I said that, which I know is a surprise to a lot of people. I think Toronto gets in. Toronto's history of getting injured, I think it's going to be close. I still think Ullmark is going to lead them. Or Swayman. I think that Boston has a really good tandem in the back there. They've got enough scoring, even though they've lost some folks. I still like them. Without Vasilevskiy, that's going to stop Tampa. They've got, you know, two or three backups, depending on what they do with their AHL call-up situation. But I think they, if Vasilevskiy comes back healthy, they could easily make the playoffs. I mean, Buffalo's quite improved. They're going to be fun to watch. Detroit, to me, is the most improved team in the league. I think they're ready to take the next step. I could see them getting that final playoff spot. And I mean, Florida went to the Cup. And Kachuk, you know, he could lead them. And, you know, they had a late run last year. So, once again, I can make an argument for all eight teams somehow making a playoff run.
Okay.
I think that is going to be the toughest division to win this year.
All right. Okay. I mean, maybe I'm too focused on what Boston did last season and the pieces they've lost coming into this season.
Yeah, I get it. But they're still strong, man.
I mean, they came out.
Can you see them not making the playoffs?
No, but I don't know if they're going to win the division.
Okay.
I still think Florida's probably winning that division. Boston's probably going to drop to the third in that division, maybe a wild card. I think them dropping out of the playoffs.
I think Toronto should win the division. I think Toronto should win division.
Right.
I don't think they will.
Yeah.
That's just my, you know, stupid prediction mind that they won't. You know, I think the Pacific is better, but I think it's Edmonton and Vancouver in a two horse race there. San Jose is just terrible. Like, and Anaheim is almost as terrible. Like, that's bad stuff there. But I think the Metro is the most interesting, because when you look at the Metropolitan, I think it's four haves and four have nots in initial thought, but the more you think about it, I think it's another one of those divisions. All eight teams you can argue can make the playoffs, but I think it's because that's how not good the division is.
Right.
Well, outside of Carolina, well, you've got Jersey winning the Cup. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of bought in. I think Carolina has a path to the Cup, but I also could see New Jersey missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
Carolina is very heavy up top. A couple injuries, they missed the play. Like, there's no, as much as both of us think that there's a couple Cup contenders, I also think it's the weakest division top to bottom.
Right. I mean, while we're in this, let's go over your way too early season.
You want those
predictions?
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I mean, you obviously said you have Boston winning the Atlantic.
Yep.
Carolina winning the Metro.
Like I said, Dallas winning the Central.
Right.
And Edmonton coming out of the Pacific.
Ooh, okay. There's only two contenders in that division.
I agree. Oh, yeah. It's Vegas and Edmonton. It really is. And I've got Edmonton beating. I had Edmonton versus Carolina, but I changed it the other day to Edmonton versus New Jersey in the Stanley Cup. And I think Connor McDavid gets it.
All right.
I do. Most improved team, I've got Detroit. Like I mentioned, Minnesota, the biggest drop off. I've got McKinnon winning the Hart and the Richard, which I know is weird because I don't have Colorado winning a division or all that, but I think that he's going to have a ton of points. I think they're going to be knocking at the door. Also hedging my bet in case they win the division. Dallas doesn't. So, you know, I get points in that award. Peter DeBoer, I think, wins the Jack Adams.
Okay.
I think that Dallas is going to have that good of a year. And I mean, I'm just going to go with Bedard for it's not sexy, or I'm not even thinking on that one. It's just,
yeah. I mean, Lou and I both agree with you on that one. It's kind of, unless something's like the wheels completely fall off, it's kind of in the bag there.
I think you could pencil him in for 60 to 80 points.
Yeah.
Without thinking. I really think that he's going to have a solid year. So that's it. By the way, I know you put in cannot pick Boston.
That was a Jacob ultimatum there that you could not.
I still would have picked Minnesota having a bigger drop off than Boston. I am so off of Minnesota. I was so in on them last year, and now I'm like, nope. I think they're going to be terrible this year.
You know, even if Boston had a really good season, you know, 100 points make the playoffs, that's still like a 30-point drop.
Yeah, that's true.
So like, that was our reasoning for why you can't pick Boston. Because even if they do, they, you know, they still compete, they still make the playoffs, yep, go deep into the playoffs. You know, they could still have the worst, you know, point decrease season to season.
I still would have picked Minnesota because they had 103 last year, mm-hmm, and I could see them finishing close to 80 this year. Okay. I don't like what they didn't do in the offseason.
Gotcha.
I am not a fan. Last year proved to me that they're just as deep as they were and as it was, that there's something ineffective going on there in Minnesota. Big changes are needed. Big changes needed.
So. Now let's, I mean, you've been in talks with Lonnie during the off season. It looks like he's got some picks in here. Take us down. I'm sure
his original picks I thought were better.
Oh yeah. Well, what was his original in the Atlantic?
It doesn't matter because I always get them wrong. So somebody wrote that in there for him. Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but okay, that's gotcha, what was listed. Yeah. He's got Toronto, Carolina, Dallas, Edmonton. So he basically what happened was he copied me.
And then changed Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he's got Carolina coming in against Vegas, and then he's got Vegas as a repeat. It's like, oh, I'm a Detroit fan. You know, I know what repeats are. So he's got Vegas winning it all, which I find interesting. He also went, he's smart, though, because he went Detroit for the most improved team.
That's a good
Vegas
choice.
Drop, the Rangers. Now, I really wish him and Lou would have a talk about this.
We need to get them on, yeah.
Yeah, Stanley Cup versus the biggest drop. He's going McDavid for the heart. Here's what I find interesting. 3 out of the 5 people are picking an Edmonton Oiler for the heart. So people are picking on Edmonton. They have a really good year. So I can get that. He's got McDavid also for the Richard.
Yep.
Once again, I'm the only one to not pick an Edmonton guy for the most goals. And I was debating between 2 Colorado guys.
You sure were.
I picked the wrong guy.
Hey, remember, halfway through the season, we can redo these. So you can pick the other guy.
Yep. Yeah. So he picked, where is that there? Derek Lalonde. Begin as the coach of the year for the Jack Adams there in Detroit. So I could get that. I could totally see that, you know, with the big jump there. And then he's got the Coyotes rookie Logan Cooley as his Calder pick.
All right.
Which basically, if Bedard doesn't win it, I think Cooley does. It's, you know, I can buy that. So.
Yeah.
Lonnie's picks will be wrong. Vegas is not winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. That doesn't happen.
No.
What's interesting, I found out, is the second line was all Eastern Conference,
mm-hmm,
and the first line minus you was Western Conference.
Yeah, I had a really hard time between Dallas and New Jersey. I think part of me just didn't want to pick Dallas.
I can't believe Jacob didn't pick he picked his boys to go but lose.
Right.
That surprised me.
Actually, I'm not surprised by that. I think history has shown itself that Edmonton can get there, but hasn't quite been able to make that turn in quite some time. So I think he's been hurt too many times to have those high hopes.
Speaking of Jacob, I know you guys talk about jerseys. We don't have much to talk about this week, but the Heritage jerseys that came up. Mm-hmm. What is he talking about that Edmonton's is bad? They're gorgeous.
I mean, yes.
I love it. I love the idea.
I don't mind. I don't mind those. I think they're a pretty good design. As I'd mentioned, it's not the metallic raindrop that they once had, which was one of the most god awful jerseys designed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
Calgary's is better. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah. No. Calgary.
But Edmonton's is pretty sweet. I think both jerseys are going to look great, and they went with the brown gloves and pants in them. I love it. I love it. I think they're great. here I am very underwhelmed though, Richard, by the jersey set for the Centennial that Boston has put out. It's too similar to what they already like. I get it; they haven't changed much.
Yeah,
but to not bring in the brown or the walking bear, like they didn't do anything that historically we've seen. It was just different versions of the Bespoke.
You're talking about the alternate with the 1924 within well, the scope.
And also,
there.
They changed the coloring of their mangers. The regular white and the black, they altered it just for this season.
Oh yeah, no.
They simplified the spoke. If you're gonna do like a centennial set, I want more.
And I think I went off on this last week as well because that alternate looks way too much like your home jersey.
Yeah.
Or sorry, your away jersey.
You've had brown in your history. You've had a golden bear walking in your, like, you've had some cool stuff. You could have really truly made us a great three jerseys for the set just for this year. And you went with what you normally do. Like, it's just odd to me.
You have a white, a black, and a white. You have it's a third color there.
So it is an off-white. They were it's watching on TV. It is slightly not white, but it's still too white.
It's the same not white as their home jerseys.
They missed.
They needed to have that gold jersey for an alternate,
or even brown.
Brown is fine too. But
they've done that. But it's not like they haven't done that in their history.
No,
you know.
Maybe the yellow might have been too winter classic ish that they've had so many times. Maybe a brown jersey might have been nice. Even
the brown from 24-25. I mean, their very first year, they wore a brown jersey with
it just said Boston, the Walking Bruin.
Yeah, it just had the Walking Bruin on it.
Yeah,
like why not do that? They had think about this. I went back on the NHL uniforms.com, the uniform database they have out there from 1924 through 1935. They had brown in their jersey.
Yeah.
So you talk about the centennial and going back to your original year for your first 14 years, you had brown as a dominant part of your color palette.
Yep.
And you only brought that back with the pants and the helmet ish of this year, but the jersey, you make it look, it looked browner on their graphics than it did on the ice last night.
Yeah.
It looked way too white for me to really believe that they brought brown into it.
Yeah. And you know what? Even ditch the spokes, just leave the B on there. If you have that brown Ooh. Jersey, I mean,
the B has always had a spoke to it.
Not always.
Except on the black, they did have a black jersey without the spoke.
Well, I believe in like the late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, they did have a brown B. It was a brown B. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you're going to go brown, yes. Yes. If you're going to go brown, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
I get it. You know, okay. Yeah.
Do that. Yeah.
But yeah, when you look at the jersey like side by side compared to like their regular jersey of last couple years,
they're really identical.
Last year, the only thing they did was change the color of the B on the black jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the thick black outline off the white jersey.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's it. Yeah, I expect better out of an original six.
Yeah, they missed the mark.
Especially the uniqueness that you have of that logo.
Oh, yeah.
And also of having brown. Teams don't do brown anymore. Like,
no.
You could, it was yours for a year.
Even the Browns don't do brown.
No, they don't. They do orange.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
Because you just name after the guy. It's because they're named after a person, not a color. Remember?
I know. But still, yeah. I mean, you missed
the mark on it. Okay, is it that time? Is it that time?
I believe it is that time for the Bet99 Picks of the Week. Fans, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at ProHockeyNew or at PHN_podcast. It's been a while since I've done this transition. I'm trying to remember how to do it. You can follow us at PHN_podcast, and you can use the hashtag PHNPicks to submit your picks for this week. This is going to be the first picks of the season. We didn't do any last week because, well, there weren't any regular season games to pick on a Saturday. And we did our way too crazy early season predictions. So this week we have five fresh games coming right at you, Adam. First game, Florida at Winnipeg. I know you just went on a rant about...
Before we start, though.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Can just so people know, kind of going into the segment for comfort and how much they should believe us for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
The last two seasons, who's won the picks?
You know, I'll have to go back into the archives and find that. I I don't know that off the top of my head. I'll find that for the next episode.
It's, okay. I was 50 and 30 last year.
Again, I'll have to crunch the numbers, but
38 wins was the next closest. Neither one of you knuckleheads went above 500. A year before, I was 47 and 28. Neither one of you knuckleheads had more than 37. Lonnie was over 500 because he missed a couple weeks of picks. That's the only reason. So just so you know,
me. Yeah, again, I'll have to go back and confirm these numbers. You're tossing out at me. Yeah, you're right.
Going for the trifecta.
Okay. We're going to make sure you don't get that this year. I'll try and throw in a lot of as many Ottawa picks as I can going forward.
they're off my. You've heard me. They are off my dumpster fire. They are not my dumpster fire team this year.
If I can find Ottawa at Arizona, I'm
putting that in there. It's juicy. Who doesn't want to watch that? Want to watch that.
Florida at Winnipeg. Adam,
give me the peg.
Oh, you're gonna take them over Florida.
I am. Game Saturday afternoon is tough in the peg.
I'm going Florida. I got faith in them to start off continue a strong first part of the season. Have you heard anything from Lonnie? Is he making some picks this week?
He's not. He's been very busy this week. I can't even like fake it for him this week.
Okay.
We'll have to. You'll have to remind him to fill it in.
All right. We'll get that filled in at the end of the episode. All right. Game number two: Calgary at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Who you like, Adam?
Neither. You know, these are two teams that I don't know which way they're going to go this year. Mm-hmm. I don't. Give me Pittsburgh. I think after giving up that lead to Chicago at home, I know they got to play Washington here tonight, but I think they'll bounce back.
Yeah. I'm going Pittsburgh as well. Just too many things going on in Calgary right now. Not sure what's going to happen with them. All right. Game number three, we have the Buffalo Sabres at the New York Islanders. Adam, is Buffalo improved enough to win this one?
They are, and I think they're going to have a New York sweep because they play the Rangers a couple days before that on Thursday night. So I think Buffalo goes 2-0 against the other New York teams.
All right. I really wish Lonnie was here because I hate agreeing with you, and I'm going to agree with you on this game. I'm going Buffalo as well.
I mean, if you would have agreed with me more the previous 2 years, what would your record have been?
You know what? We're not going to talk about that right now. You know, it was that 0-5 start I had last season. That's what did it.
Okay.
Week one, 0-5. I couldn't recover. All right. Game number four, we have Vancouver at Edmonton, the rematch of the very first game between these two. Adam, what you got?
Edmonton. Till Vancouver, I don't think Vancouver's going to be as terrible as they were last year, but I'm still not. I can't pick them until I can figure out if they're any good.
I'm going to diverge from you on this one. I'm going to go Vancouver and, you know, just given their previous performance against Edmonton, it's really a coin toss for this game. So game number five, last game of our week one picks, Tampa Bay at Detroit. Adam?
I like Detroit at home. I think they come out firing at home. But, you know, without Vasilevsky, I think every Tampa game is a coin flip.
Yep. Agreed. I'm going to go with Detroit as well. So there you have it. Our very first picks of the season. You can, again, follow us on Twitter at @PHN_podcast. And you can share your picks with us using the hashtag PHNPicks.
By the way, very well done, because I think those were the top games. I mean, you did very good this week.
Wow.
It's unusual for you.
I don't know what to say to that. That's
clunker in there. I'm shocked at you.
You know, it's week one. It's easy because they match up the best teams in the beginning of the season. So
go with that. Go with that. We'll get Lonnie's picks in. Parting thoughts, my friend. You got anything on that brain of yours to share with all?
You know, I always have plenty on my brain. Going outside of hockey and going outside of sports, just urging our listeners to be careful in the coming weeks, days, on social media, with everything that's going on in the world. Just knowing that there is going to be a lot of misinformation being thrown out on social media, given the events going on around the world, especially in the Middle East and with Ukraine. Just be very cautious with what you share on social media, because misinformation is easy to spread, even if it is unintentional, and can do real harm.
I echo that. I'll go a different direction to lighten up just a bit.
Okay.
This is the time of year. Kids are back in school. You know, the things are changing. Sports are starting up. The different fall sports and winter sports are starting up. Parents, have fun with your kids in these things.
Yes.
You know, very, very few of them are going to get to the level that we're talking about. Very few of them are going to get college scholarships. Encourage them. Have fun. The seasons are changing. The sports are changing. We're going from, you know, the baseball, softball season in the States to more to the hockey, football, basketball, volleyball type season. But let your kids have fun. And team sports are a great way for kids to learn many lessons. So lay off of them. Lay off of the officials. Remember, as a parent, you're supposed to have fun along with your kids. Keep going with that. And we need fun with all that's going on in the world today.
Absolutely.
Let youth sports be as much of a release for you as a parent as it is for your kids. That's what I got.
I like that.
For Lonnie Goldsmith, even though he wasn't here, we still talk about him. So we'll pretend he's part of this. No, he's busy doing some amazing work this week.
Absolutely.
With his main gig. So good on him for covering all he's been covering. For Richard Cote, I'm Adam Nick. Thank you to our friends at Bet99 Sports and MyCustomSportsShare.com for being part of the PHN podcast season again. We will talk to you until next time. This has been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.